Welcome, everybody. Shir number 1028. We're learning today. Lili Nishmas Moshe Doif Ben Rabbi Zisel. Lili Nishmas Blima Bas Ram Moshe. L'Rafu Shalema Sarah Fega Bas Leia Nachama. And L'Rafu Shalema Rivka Bas Mirim Yehudis. Getting back to Amalacha of Mechabe. Okay, so I just want to go through some of the things which we learned. It's sort of like a summary review a little bit, putting it all straight down the line. From the Sefer Shabbos Home, puts it down very nicely, a few different inyonim on page 470 in conjunction with our malacha of Mechaba, extinguishing a fire. Okay, so the first thing which we spoke about, he says like this, again on page 470, if burning candles are located next to a window, right, the very famous case, you have burning candles next to a window, doesn't matter what type of candles, whether it's oil or regular candles, but they're burning candles next to a window, and the wind is blowing against the window, right, a person sees the wind is taka going, then one may not open the window. Okay, why can't they open the window? For the wind will surely cause the candles to be extinguished, right? You open the window, wind comes in, blows out the candles. Even if the wind ceases to blow, the wind stops blowing for a moment, one may not take advantage of the wind not blowing at that time. They can't take advantage and open the window, for it's the nature of wind, like we said. The wind dies down and then starts up, dies down, starts up. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the wind. So therefore, one cannot be certain that at the moment that they open the window, maybe it's going to stop blowing again. Who said it's not going to stop blowing at the minute they open the window just because they look outside and now there's no wind? So Lemaisa, the bottom line is, opening up a window near candles can be done, but, like we said, however, if the room is uncomfortable, right, it gets hot, the person needs the fresh air, whatever the case is, or if there's some other pressing need, we don't mean stam fresh air, it's very stuffy, it's very uncomfortable, it's very hot, whatever the case is, or some other pressing need, one may wait for the wind to cease blowing for a moment and open the window at that time. Of course, if they see the wind blowing, then they cannot open it, they have to wait till there's no wind at all. Then, like we said, b'shas adchak, one could go ahead and open the window then. Okay, the next thing which we spoke about quite a number of times, just summing it up and wrapping it up, in reference to moving a table, we said, we spoke about, so the case with the window, again, clear. It doesn't matter if it's oil or regular candle, it's a question of the flickering flame. Now, when it comes to moving a table, now that is where we talk about where there's an oil. You have a person that has, let's say, a leichta, right, the Shabbos candles, you have the wick and the oil. So putting aside the muksa part of it, one has to be careful, he brings down, which of course we're going to discuss, Bezrus Hashem Yisbarach, little bit ways down the road, the halachas of muksa, but moving the table is only allowed in a case where it did not become a basis. It didn't become a base for the leichta, which we're not going to get into all those halachas now, but assuming the person did what they had to do, and now the table is not a basis, it's not a foundation for the leichter, so then it's only a question of moving the table because of the fact that the question of moving the table when there's oil, there's wicks in oil. So that's what he brings down. When one moves a table with an oil lamp on it, again in conjunction with the halachas of muksa, one must be very careful not to move the table too quickly, lest they inadvertently shake the oil in the lamp. Shaking the oil is a problem because shaking can cause the oil to draw closer to the flame and burn more quickly, which would violate the malacha of mavir, kindling the fire. It could also cause the oil to move away from the flame and burn less quickly, which would violate the malacha of mechabe, our malacha, which is extinguishing the fire. Now, I do want to make it very clear, you know, somebody might say, well, so let's talk about the muksa part of moving the table. I really don't want to get off on a tangent right now. We have to go slow and take step by step, each malacha at a time, each subject one at a time, each inyan one at a time. It's very important because there's so many details involved. As we've been seeing throughout the last 1,000 shiurim, Baruch Hashem, there's so many details. We have to take it slow, step by step, and that's the best way to remember it, of course, and reviewing and so on. Okay, so the next case that he brings down, again, in conjunction with the halachas of muksa, whereby the table would be allowed to be moved if it was done the right way, whatever the case is, a table he brings down with burning candles upon it, again, not the oil, but the regular burning candle, a table with burning candles on it, unlike one containing burning an oil lamp, may be carried in a quicker manner. In other words, with the oil, you have to be very careful, going extremely slow, where it won't be apsik resha, where it won't automatically and inadvertently switch the oil back and forth. But when it comes to regular candles, somebody has a leichta, again, in conjunction with the halachas of muksa, and then you have to move the table, so then it may be carried a little bit quicker, and we're not afraid of the psikresha, whereby you're swishing around the oil, because this is how he brings it. The Lemaisi says further, because there's very little loose fuel in a burning candle. A regular wax candle, there's very little loose fuel. And therefore we're not concerned that carrying the table in that manner, in other words, worrying about the candles, we're not concerned that the carrying will cause the fuel to move away from the flame or go closer to the flame or so on. Of course, one does have to be careful, of course, if the candles are not sturdy or whatever, it's just going to fall down. It could light the tablecloth, Rachmon Aslan. That, of course, it goes without saying, Ezeo Chacham Haroya Es Hanoilid, who's a smart person, obviously, who's a Chacham, who sees the future, you have to be careful. Although, in the case where the candles are sturdy, it's just a question of moving the candles as opposed to where the wick was in the oil, swishing around the oil. Over here, we don't really have that problem. If somebody has to move a little bit quicker, it's much easier. And we spoke about last time also on the buffet or so on a separate table, sometimes a little bit more shaky. If somebody has to take out Sfarim, we spoke about, or whatever it is, and shake, and the thing might shake a little bit. And there's a question, it's only of a question of candles, right? And wax candles and not oil. So then it's much easier. We don't have that issue of psikresha. Now, he goes further, does the Sefer Shabbos home, lowering a gas flame. Now, we're not talking about Yom Tov, we're talking about strictly on Shabbos. Of course, it's not allowed. One is for, let's say I have a fire going. I want to make the flame lower. Could I do that? Is there a problem with making the flame lower on Shabbos? So he says, of course, one is forbidden, it's not allowed to lower a gas flame on Shabbos, even if they don't extinguish the flame entirely. Because like we've spoken about, making a flame less, lower, is also part of the malacha of mechaba, extinguishing a flame. It doesn't have to be bedafka, whereby you put it out altogether. Even just lowering it is aser to do. Now, of course, when it comes to lowering the flame, we're just talking right now about Shabbos, Yom Tov, is a whole different set of halachas when it comes to these inyanim in general. Okay, so not just one more quick thing, which we've mentioned many times, and it's important to chazer over, turning off a gas on a stove with electronic ignition. Rav Moshe talks about it. He has a tshuva, so he brings it down to the Sefer Shabbos home on gas ranges with electronic ignition. The electric igniter gives off sparks when the knob is in the correct position. If the fire on the burner goes out on Shabbos, let's say, right? Let's say the fire goes out and gas is coming out. Now, the problem is gas is still coming out and the fire went out. What should one do? So, Lemaisa, one may turn off the gas even though the igniter will give off some sparks. They have to turn off the gas as the knob passes the igniting position. In other words, it's going to give off sparks. It's going to be it's somewhat problematic to do on Shabbos. But however, the knob should be turned. The knob has to be turned off because obviously the letting gas out is bekuach nefesh. You can't just have gas leaking. That's bekuach nefesh. Can be done. The reason this would be allowed is because it's dangerous, of course, to allow gas to leak. Now, like Rav Moshe brings down in the tshuva, like we mentioned quite a number of times, if it's possible, the knob should be turned in an unusual manner. For example, with a shina, backhandedly, with elbows, whatever, if it's possible. If that can be done, it can be done. But one should try and do it with the shinai. But whatever it is, be it as it may, you can't just have gas coming out with no flame. That's pekuach nefesh, that one has to be very careful. Thank you for listening. Aslach and bracha. Kol tuv.